A bombshell was dropped at the University of Michigan last week when two of Coach Bo Schembechler's former players, along with one of the coach's sons, alleged that they were sexually abused by team doctor Robert Anderson, and that they alerted Coach Schembechler, but he reportedly dismissed their claims. To many of the Michigan faithful, it is unfathomable. Worse yet, Bo is deceased and cannot answer to these allegations. So who will? Well, on Ann Arbor's talk station 1290 WLBY, one of his former players is standing up for him. Jim Brandstetter was an offensive lineman for Bo Schembechler between 1969 and 1972. He played on two Big Ten championship teams, including the 1969 team that upset number one ranked Ohio State and the unbeaten 71 champions. Jim is also the play-by-play announcer for Michigan football and was good friends with the late Bo Schembechler. Fair to say, Jim, that you knew Bo better than most?
Yeah. I knew him pretty well.
How are you making sense out of all of this?
It does make no sense. The Bo Schembechler, I knew if something was wrong, if something went against his principles, Bo would have corrected it immediately. I just know that. I know that for a fact. And first thing I want to say is I got great sympathy for those people, Lucianne, who suffered at the hands of sexual abuse, that Dr. Anderson, their claims. I have sympathy for them, and that kind of behavior is reprehensible. Now, I will tell you this too, be honest. I was examined by Dr. Anderson on four or five occasions when I was a player, and those examinations went totally and completely professionally. I never felt abused in any way, shape, or form. That's my experience. I can't talk to the experience of someone else, but I think what's happening is they're trying to tie Bo to Dr. Anderson. Bo would not, in my judgment, approve or would have done everything he could possibly do to make sure that Dr. Anderson and any of this stuff stopped. Now, that's just the Bo I know. And I think he should have a voice to be defended. I mean, a lot of people are making claims that he knew. Where's Bo? Who's his defender? And isn't everyone allowed a vigorous defense? Isn't that part of the law? And I'm just trying to defend Bo in the sense that the guy I knew would not allow this to continue with his players. And some of the witnesses that have come forward, in my judgment, are not credible.
I want to ask you about your experience with Dr. Anderson. If I may, did he always, when you went to see him, always do the rectal exam, the prostate exam that has been described?
Yes.
Every single time. And you never felt that that was out of the ordinary?
Lucianne, I went to Fort Wayne in Detroit for a military physical. Because back in the day, you had to take a military physical when you were of draft age. They did the same exact physical of the U.S. military that Dr. Anderson did to me when I was at the University of Michigan ready to play football. So to answer your question, that was part of the exam. And it was the same exam that I got from the U.S. Army doctors at Fort Wayne.
If Bo had been presented directly with information that Dr. Anderson had been sexually abusing Bo's charges, those that felt that that exam was inappropriate, would he have told those student athletes to toughen up? Do you think if he did say something like that, that he misunderstood what they were trying to tell him?
I have no idea. I can't get in his head. I can't get in the kids' heads. I just know that if Bo Schembechler was told that there's physical or sexual abuse going on, he would have gotten to the bottom of it and stopped it. Period. End of story. End of conversation. That's the way the man handled problems. I mean, he did that with one of the players that made the charges against him, Dan Kwiatkowski. Mm-hmm. Dan Kwiatkowski was dismissed from the football team in 1980 because of drug-related issues that he had within the team. He said I don't want to attack the accuser, okay? Because that's a really kind of a fine line you have to walk when you do that. But the reality is, and this is a headline from 1980 in the Detroit Free Press, that Kwiatkowski was one of the players that was dismissed in 1980. If he says he took a football physical with Dr. Anderson for the 80 season and 81 season, that's not correct because he wasn't on the team at that time.
And so, I was actually at the University of Michigan at that time, and I remember that. I knew a lot of those guys from that team. And
right. He was there's a headline news article in the Free Press, March 13th of 1980. I've got a copy of it on my desktop. He's one of the names mentioned. And I don't, again, that's not to say some of this stuff doesn't happen, but to suggest Bo didn't act on it, that's the thing I have a problem with. You're trying to destroy a great man's reputation. You're trying to destroy Bo Schembechler when Bo Schembechler wasn't the one that committed the crime.
I want you to sort something out for me that I don't quite understand. I had never heard of Dr. Anderson before. The physician that I had always connected to the University of Michigan football program was Dr. Jerry O'Connor, who now also is dead, as are many of the others involved with this. What was the difference between those two doctors, and would players see both, Jim?
Yes. Jerry O'Connor was the orthopedic doctor, which means if you had a bad knee, a bad ankle, a joint problem, you know, Jerry would do the examination on your knees. If you tore a ligament, if you needed a surgery, Jerry O'Connor was that guy. And of course, as you know, football has a lot of those injuries, fingers, shoulders, knees, ankles. That was Jerry O'Connor. For a general kind of a thing, it was Bob Anderson. If you got a cold, or if you got a cut, say in practice, you know, a chin strap got your arm, you needed a bandage, the trainers would bandage you up and you would go see Dr. Connor and he'd prescribe antibiotics. That's kind of Bob Anderson was like an internist and Jerry O'Connor was a specialist and he was an orthopedic surgeon and an orthopod.
When you look at the totality of the allegations in the report, and I've read most of the Wilmer Hale report that the University of Michigan had commissioned and paid for, they all talk about what they perceived happened to them and the fact that some of them did go and tell certain coaches. There were wrestling coaches. There were all sorts of coaches that were identified in this. And yet we're all talking about what happened last week when Matt Schembechler, the son of Bo, stepped forward and said this happened to him when he was 10 years old, when he went to this doctor, I guess by himself. I don't know any mother who'd let their kid go by himself to the doctor for the first time riding his bike over there. But
Thank you, Lucianne.
That just blew me away when I read that. But maybe it was a little different because they knew it was through the athletic department. I don't know.
Again, I think that it's important, and I'm glad you did that, is to kind of understand context. And if someone makes a claim, and again, these people are literally destroying a great man's reputation. And one of the guys at the University of Michigan who did more for that university and raised more money and created a new reality for this university into the major leagues. When he was there, this guy was unbelievable what Bo did for this university. Now they're trying to absolutely destroy him. I think it's fair if someone's trying to do that. And again, mount a defense for him because Bo's not here to do it is to say, okay, what about the credibility of those people who are trying to destroy Bo? I think it's fair. I don't think I'm being mean, nasty, and lawyers probably would love to have an opportunity. A lawyer would cross-examine a guy like Matt. Because you're right, the context. Millie Schembechler also should come into this. She was a nurse, her background. I knew Millie well. She's a lovely lady. And she was no shrinking violet, believe me. She would never send her son riding a bike to a doctor to get a physical by himself. She would have accompanied him. Bo wouldn't have allowed that. And so that's why I think you need to understand context and then say to yourself, wait a minute. But what happened to that press conference is the media, the people that were there, just lapped it up like it was true, no questions asked.
Well, second, that's part of the culture today, that we're not allowed to do that to purported victims.
And the other interesting thing was, and I asked this question, he claims that Bo Schembechler, and again, I don't want to do this in the sense that I'm attacking the accuser, but the fact is, look at context. Just think, does this make sense? Bo Schembechler supposedly, according to Matt, told Don Canham, don't fire Robert Anderson. At the time, look at the timeline context. He'd been hired in December, and somewhat 8-9 months later, he goes to Canham and says, don't fire this guy. Bo Schembechler, at the time he said that, hadn't coached a game yet. He hadn't won a game yet. Would Bo do that? Would any employee go to the guy that hired him and say, hey, don't do this to a guy he probably didn't know? I'm just asking you. Look at the context. does that wash? And in many instances, it goes back to what I call, I know it's a capital crime term, reasonable doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's reasonable doubt to your question about, I don't know any mom that would let their son go to a doctor on his own riding his bike. Secondly, I don't know anybody who is a coach or whatever who hasn't coached a game yet. He's still, Bo Schembechler, 9 months into his job, was not the Bo Schembechler we knew 15 years later. He's not going to go to Canem and say, hey, get rid of this guy. I just don't see how that works.
I don't understand that either. Also, for context for everyone, Bo married Millie in 1968. She came in with a package of 3 boys whom he adopted. One of those boys, the oldest one, Chip, is now deceased as well. And he's the one that Matt says he had confided in. So again, you've got another dead person who can't speak on behalf of this. And you know, when this press conference last week was announced, some media were portraying it as there's going to be evidence. I thought, did Millie have a journal? You know, were there going to be other people coming forward to verify what Matt was saying? And it wasn't like that at all. And this all boils down to, and this is what I said in my commentary last week on the show, it boils down to they said they're dead. There's nothing else to this. And we live in a culture where we have to believe people who say they have been victims of sexual abuse. I have a big problem with this.
Well, you're not the only one. I just think that you can now, if you take this to the next level, you can say anything about anybody at any time. If they're gone, they're convicted.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Jim, having said that, watching Giovanni Johnson, watching Dan Kwiatkowski, even Matt Schembechler, who I went to high school with, he was a couple years older than me, they came across, for the most part, as credible. I mean, Giovanni, when he started crying. I don't know how to make sense of this, which was my original question to you. How are you making sense of this? You know the Bo, you know. You're wearing a cap right now that in script it says Bo on the top of it. This is your good...
It is the way his signature...
That's right. This is your good friend. You remain friends with his second wife, Kathy, who also has spoken out on his behalf.
And I might add, so has his son, Shemmy.
That's right. And that fourth boy is the product of Millie and Bo. And I haven't heard from Jeff. I don't know Jeff, who is 1 year older than Matt, where he stands on all of this. I don't know if he's spoken out yet.
I don't know either. I have not heard from Jeff either.
Do you, Jim Brandstetter, can you characterize for us what the relationship was like between Bo and Matt when Bo was alive?
There wasn't much of a relationship. And the reason was, is that Matt had gotten into trouble on a number of occasions. These are things that happened. I mean, he tried to do a memorabilia deal with stadium seats that the university and Bo said was, you know, it wasn't going to work for you. You didn't have the rights fees. There was a legal issue that didn't allow him to go ahead with this thing. He sued the university and he sued Bo. And I think he sued the campus police also, because I was told he was escorted off campus at one point. That didn't help any relationship at all, but that suit was thrown out of court. So it had no merit. So he was in the wrong to begin with. He had had, you know, troubles in the past with different things and different projects. So he and Bo did not get along really, really well. And again, he tried to sue him before. And I don't know why this came about now. I really have no idea. And if you look at it, it's well past. I mean, even the original thing on Dr. Anderson was a year or two ago when it started to come out. Now Matt comes out and tries to tie Bo to the Anderson deal. And that's my quarrel, is that Robert Anderson, my experience was nothing like the other guy's experience, okay? And I know other people. I have a letter from a guy that said, look, I got the same physical I got at Wurtsmith Air Force Base for the Navy that I got from Dr. Anderson. There are a lot of guys that went through the physical and none of us felt that we were abused, okay? I'm not saying that the other guys don't have a point. I wasn't in the room with them. They've got their own reality and I've got mine. Mine is no less credible than theirs, but Bo Schembechler had nothing to do with it. I know him too well. I knew him too well to suggest that this guy would let this happen to his players, his family? That is absolutely not Bo Schembechler.
You know, I talked with Peg Canham privately, and I think she would let me share this information. She's very adamant that Don Canham, the former athletic director who's now deceased as well, would not have done nothing about a situation like this, as you said Bo would as well. And she was his secretary for some 30 years or assistant, and then ended up marrying him when his wife passed away. And she said that he shared everything with her. The good, the bad, everything going on in the athletic department, not once did she say she ever heard anything like this. And she said that Dr. Anderson was Don Canham's doctor. And that she said if he thought he was doing things, he would not be going to him himself.
Well, and that's some of that stuff. Just, again, context. Look at context. If you were so-called abused by a guy at one point, why would you go back to him 6 years later?
There are people smarter than us that, you know, are in the world of sexual abuse that talk about these issues and say, we can't understand. You can't make any of this, you know, when it happens to you, there's no making sense of it. Right. So I don't want to really go in that direction, but I do believe that we need to explore all these questions that are in people's minds. And I hope that's what the investigators are doing as well.
I agree. The one thing I want to make sure that I think is important is that you don't lump Bo together with them. Bo didn't abuse anybody. I mean, you get this story going and all of a sudden the two personalities mesh together. And that's not the case here. There are a lot of guys who have filed the lawsuit who are in this class action, as I understand it. Not all of them athletes, by the way, mm-hmm. not all of them football players. Mm-hmm. And there are fewer than that who claim Bo knew. I don't know how many, but it's not 800 that claim Bo knew.
Well, no, 800 includes people that were bringing context to the investigation. There were about, my understanding is that currently there are about 200 that the law firm, that came in on the law firm. There were 500 total, only 200 or 300 decided to be part of the case and the others dropped out.
And I don't know how many of them, the 200,
right,
have said that Bo knew. Not all 200, I guarantee you.
Well, I've only known these three from this last week.
I think there's probably, I would say the number's close to 8 or 10. But again, the three that we have are Matt Gilvani and this Kwiatkowski guy. And again, I go back to this. They're just making assertions about a guy, and the guy has had no defense. And I think he deserves a defense to people who know him. Why is their word credible and mine is not?
Yeah.
And yours too.
Have you talked to your fellow players during your time? And what is their...
They're all upset. The 1969 team, to a man, cannot believe that this stuff is going on.
Well, where are they then? You're the only one speaking up for him. Where are they?
They're out there, and I've got a bunch of guys together, and we're trying to put something together as a concerted effort with a group, you know, with many, many signatures. Talk to a guy today about being a part of a statement, and we are at a point where you got to walk a pretty fine line because you're involved in legalities and things like that. So we're all trying to figure out a way where we can do it in the best possible way to defend Bo and make sure that we make people aware that statements made about Bo by some people should be not taken as gospel, but should be quote unquote vetted. Mm-hmm. And or like any situation in court looked at with a balanced eye so that you can make a case or you can, you know, it's like reasonable doubt, like I said before.
Well, I do want to mention that in the WilmerHale report, it does say university employees told investigators that Schembechler wouldn't have allowed the alleged abuse. Multiple university personnel who worked with Mr. Schembechler told us that had he been aware of Dr. Anderson's misconduct with patients, he would not have tolerated it. So it is in the report.
It is in the report, but guess what? It's not getting any play, is it?
Right.
Now, Matt Schembechler shows up and said, I was 10 years old, sent to the doctor by my mother, by myself, and everybody laps it up like it's gospel.
Well, and also, what about Millie? Everyone wants to, as you say, everyone wants to paint her in a picture of a 1960s woman who would be scared to come forward. But one thing about a woman is they're going to protect their children. And if they thought, would she really let him go back when he was 15 to the same doctor?
Hey, that's ludicrous. Okay. That on its face is a complete, that's blown up. That should be blown up. Millie Schembechler was not a shrinking violet. As I said, she was a strong-willed woman. Think about this. Her husband died and she had three boys on her own. And she married a coach who wasn't going to be home around. And she had to basically raise those kids on her own. That's a strong woman.
Yeah.
Do you think for a minute that if Bo Schembechler knocked one of her sons, this is like 6-7 months after they were married, across the room? Believe me, Millie Schembechler would have kicked his butt from Arlington Avenue in Ann Arbor all the way to Oxford, Ohio, and back. That's the Millie Schembechler that I knew.
Well, that's the part that bothers me, is that no one talks about that part of this.
And what's sad about that is that what Matt did is an indictment to Millie, his mother herself. I mean, he's indicted her too. By saying this stuff about Bo, he's claiming his mother just sat by and watched it happen. Millie Schembechler would not have allowed that to happen.
But you know what, Jim, but you and I don't know. We really don't know. We think we know. You think you know the man?
I know. I mean, I don't know from a standpoint of documented proof. Just like, do we know he's telling the truth?
Yeah.
Do we?
Well, and at the very least, it has to be vetted. It has to be investigated.
Well, do we believe he's I mean, you and I both have said there's doubt there.
Yeah.
But why is everybody fawning over it like it's the gospel?
Yeah.
I think that given the severity of what's going on in regards to a man's reputation, I think that this, we ought to be sure.
Yeah.
Don't you think before this university, and the university's response has been, in my opinion, lacking. The regents, in my opinion, haven't done enough to put this to bed.
What do you want them to do, Jim?
Well, I'd like, they've got to be strong enough to sit there and say, do you allow, as a university, unsubstantiated, unverified charges to carry the day without any real, true evidence? I mean, anybody can walk up and say anything about anybody, and all of a sudden you say, okay, that's the truth. Goodbye. See you later. Your building's gone. Adios, pal.
Yeah.
I think, doesn't it? Don't your icons deserve more than that?
We're talking with Jim Brandstetter on the Lucianne Lance Show, Ann Arbor's talk station, 1290 WLBY. Two other quick points here. Hard to believe that Bo wanted to keep Dr. Anderson just to have something on him to be able to leverage him in case he had hurt players cleared to play, because there are people on there that I'm sure that weren't scholarship, that had nothing to do with that. And also, of those 200 or 300 people, not one person told their parent.
Yeah.
Not one parent came forward to the university. I didn't see anything on that in the report.
Well, again, there's so many different, options and things. There's a group about embarrassment, all kinds of other things. Psychologists know more about that stuff than I do. Mm-hmm. Whether they would tell something like this happened, I don't know whether that's true. Why they didn't? Some, you would think, out of 200, there would have been some that did, but apparently not.
Yeah.
And you wonder what the motivation is for getting Bo. What do you think is the motivation for just?
Well, he's a big name.
Well, but beyond that,
he can't answer for himself.
Right. Here's my thought on that again. This is something that's out there. It's written. It's in the university's response to a lot of the allegations. They say there is a court guided mediation process going on currently. Now, what does that sound like to you? It's about a settlement.
Money, I was going to say, yes. Well, we all know this is where this is leading to.
Okay. That's the one thing I want to say. You want to talk motivation, things like that?
Yeah.
I don't want to put anything in anybody's head, any of that stuff. But I'm just saying, follow the context and follow all the other evidence. Do you really believe they're doing this so it won't happen again? Dr. Anderson's long gone. Sexual abuse, and everybody is... They are on top of that, the police, the schools, everyone, with the Nassar thing going on at Michigan State. This has become an absolutely Yeah, I mean, it's terrible.
There's no question that the University of Michigan needs to clean up its act in this regard, because in the report, it also says a woman who claimed that she was violated by the doctor during a medical exam. And there were, I think there's a handful of women maybe in this report. It's not just all men. But she needed it for employment, or he needed for employment. And she filed a lawsuit against him in 1995 against Dr. Anderson. And then he self-disclosed this lawsuit that had been lodged against him on an application for Michigan medicine credentials that he needed in September 96, according to the Wilmer Hill report. And the university did not conduct due diligence to vet that out.
Yeah, the university's got a lot of things that in the past during this thing that has, you know, got some black eyes going on. Mm-hmm. But they have, since this whole thing has come out and before that, put in place all kinds of checks and balances and things to make sure that none of this stuff happens before, because it has become an issue. And they've been, in my opinion, very responsive to it. The stuff that happened in 95 and 96 and back when I played in 69, 70 and 71, it's a different world. A lot of things are different, but the university has done what they can, I think, for the most part, to try to clear things up so that in 2010 and beyond, things are so much better. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they've tried. They've tried to do that. I think they've done their due diligence in that regard. But to say something went on before, yeah. I mean, they've got some things that they've got to answer for also. But like, we get off the topic. The topic here is, did Bo know? And would he have done anything about it? And in my opinion, he would have done something about it. And I think he deserves a defense. The university's got its own issues and own problems, but they have addressed those. They're an entity that doesn't die. They're an entity that has the ability to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Bo doesn't, and somebody should respond for him. And I think that we should all kind of take this in context and understand that he deserves a defense too. And the people that are trying to destroy him should be asked the questions that seemingly you and I have issues with.
Yeah.
I don't think that's unfair. Do you?
No, I don't either. And Jim, you're a very good friend, but you're also logical as well. And I think that these are the kinds of things that we should be allowed to ask answers.
And I hope the university community comes together to some degree. I mean, there are a lot of people, I'm talking anecdotally, but I'm sure that you too have met and talked to people who have said, what's this about Bo? That's not the Bo I knew,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen them. And I think that the university community and the people that know Bo should speak up also, not just the players. We're trying to. Some of us are out there trying to get letters and put things together to and get a lot of signatures on something that would be stand in opposition to what was said on that press conference. It takes some time to get all of that together and do it in a proper way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to do that, but I think the university community should also get together and band together, and people should go ahead and say to, you know, the regents, write letters, send emails, say, hey, you guys don't let them, you know, browbeat you into taking one of the great names in University of Michigan history and burying it with just allegation and innuendo. If there's proof, if you got it, Matt Schembechler said he had evidence. He didn't have evidence.
I didn't see any evidence. That's what I was waiting for.
It was what he said his dad said to him.
Everyone has the right to their own narrative and to what they believe. And I don't know, you know, who's telling what truth here, but I think that we need to ask these questions.
Absolutely. He has the right to say whatever he wants to, but so do I.
Yeah.
And so do you. And so does every University of Michigan person who ever came in contact with Bo Schembechler and knew about his character and integrity.
Jim, if this devolves into, money aside and everything else going on with this, but if it devolves into that statue being taken down of Bo Schembechler on campus, what would you do?
I hope it never happens. I don't know. I would be extremely disappointed in the University of Michigan. I think, too, Lucianne, think about the ramifications of something like that. A generation of people who in the, I would say the range of what, 50, 48, 45 to 70, 75, 80 years old are large donors to the University of Michigan.
Mm.
They're the ones that, I mean, remember Bo and remember his teams, remember the team. He was iconic figure. He was a great champion of the University of Michigan. And those people, I think, would be devastated to have that stuff happen with just four or five guys making statements and making allegations that were non-provable.
Yeah. And our conversation today, though, is solely about Bo Schembechler.
Yes.
You know, we did not get into the information on Dr. Anderson per se. It seems like that's a foregone conclusion now. But again,
Dr. Anderson, and I have all the sympathy in the world for people who have been abused by,
yes,
Dr. Anderson.
Definitely.
My experience was not that way, but I can't speak to their experience because I wasn't in the room with them.
Right, exactly.
My experience was not abusive. It was professional in all cases. Mm-hmm. But Bo Schembechler wasn't in the room either. He is not tied at the hip with Bob Anderson.
Well, and if other coaches also knew, assistant coaches or wrestling coaches or whoever it was, how come they're not talking about them?
Well, nobody's, I don't think, talking to them. That's the other thing. I mean, this thing is gone. I mean,
they're mentioned in the report, though.
Thank you. You've talked to me. Yeah. You reached out and talked to me. I didn't call you.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they're going to call anybody. I mean, I've had conversation with a lot of football players.
Yeah.
A lot of my teammates. And I know that we're all upset and we're livid with the kind of treatment that Bo's getting. And at some point, I hope we're able to get together with some kind of a joint effort, if you will, where a great number of names will be put to paper or something on a statement with a group of guys that, dispute the kind of treatment that Bo's getting.
All right. One final question here. The WilmerHale report, Jim Brandstetter, says there was this locker room talk about Dr. Anderson and student athletes referring to him by names such as Handy Andy, Goldfinger, Dr. Anderson, Dr. Drop Your Drawers Anderson, and that this was all done in the context of joking, and that assistant coaches would use this as a threat, saying that if you don't do well in practice today, we're going to send you to the doctor. Did you ever hear that, number one? And number two, was this just in the context of jokes? What?
Yes, most of it's joke. We joke about everything. You should have heard the stuff they said about guys' girlfriends. I'm telling you, the locker room is a place that's different than anywhere else. I mean, I find this to be so crazy that the locker room is a place that a lot of things are said that are not, and they're in poor taste. I will readily admit there's stuff that's in awful taste. It's completely not politically correct. If someone that was unwashed, or if not unwashed, but new to that, walked in, they would say, "Holy God, do these guys even like each other?" And yet, they're my brothers. That's kind of what goes on in a locker room. Never, Lucianne, I would not lie to you or anyone on regards to this. What I was never told. And I never heard anyone told, and I've been around that program a long time as a broadcaster and as a player. I never heard the term, "If you don't do something better, I'm going to send you over to Anderson." Mm. Never. I never heard that. And I never heard it. And believe me, in the locker room, you'd hear that. You'd hear somebody, "Did you hear he told me he was going to send me to Anderson?" The players don't tell the other guys something that's wacky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if some coach said, "Hey, my nickname, Bo called me wide butt." Okay?
Yeah.
"He once called me the worst tackle in the history of intercollegiate football." Exactly. Lucianne, you're laughing. You're having a good time with that, right? Now, the truth is, at the time, I wasn't real happy about it, but the guys in the locker room thought it was hilarious. And yet if somebody walked in there, they'd go, "Oh, my God, how is that poor boy handling that?" There's a way to motivate. As a coach, you motivate a player. Now, and you don't motivate him by telling him you're going to go to the doctor. I mean, I've heard him tell a lot of guys something like, he used to tell Billy Taylor, because he wasn't running fast, he said, "Billy, God, can't you get the piano off your back?" Yeah. Now, is that mean? Is that nasty? I don't, I'm a player. I don't think that's bad at all. He's telling Billy, run, man. You're faster than that. You're better than that. He's trying to make them better. And this whole thing of somebody, it is absolutely ludicrous that someone would say and think and get and try to get away with saying that they were serious, that someone would suggest that for punishment, you're going to be sent to the doctor. Mm. Give me a break. That one is beyond the pale in my
So opinion. Jim,
and in all of my years there, again, to repeat, I never heard it said.
Jim, if Dr. Anderson was sexually abusing the student athletes and others, why didn't it come out back then?
That's a great question. I don't know. Maybe in when these guys said 79 or whatever the time, I don't know. I can't answer that. I'm not a psychologist. You ask that to some psychologist, you ask that to five psychologists, you get five different answers. So asking it to a football broadcaster, you're parking up the wrong tree.
But these guys are maintaining that they told their coaches, they told people, and it just went nowhere.
If they told all those coaches and everything,
that's my point.
It had to sneak out. It had to sleep out somewhere, right?
Someone had to do the right thing. If they knew
and
about
that's it. Why it doesn't. That's why, again, I go back to context. You're asking a great question. And I say that leads me to believe that there is, especially the coaches that they said they knew, that leads me to believe there's some reasonable doubt that they were actually told they would have done something. Mm. Bo Schembechler would have done something. Mm. I know that. Now, can I give you documented evidence? Can I get a paper? You know, like, I don't know. I don't have that. But in my mind and in who I am, I know that Bo would not have done that. He would have taken care. And I agree. Shemmy Schembechler said it. Kathy Schembechler said it. Everybody that I know that played for Bo. And if something was wrong and something was, it goes back to the five guys that were dealing drugs in 1980, including Kwiatkowski. Bo got rid of them. Now, I'm sorry, this doesn't happen in my locker room. And five of them were gone. And that's the way he did. That's the way he went about his business. And to suggest that he would allow it to happen with Dr. Anderson, if he was told, I don't think that's accurate.
Jim, thank you very much for speaking out today on behalf of Bo Schembechler, the late Michigan football coach. And
you're welcome, Luciana. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you for having the guts to ask the question. Thank you. No, thank you for being fair. Thank you for trying to be balanced. And I'm not.
It's just a side of the conversation we haven't really heard, and we appreciate it.
There are two sides to every story. Yeah. And yet, in the environment we live in, with some of the media that's out there, there is no other side that whatever is said is gospel. Yeah. I think that's a dangerous thing. When we don't have a good checks and balance, they've got it in the government. Why in the world don't we have it these days in the business world or in media? Where if you make a charge against somebody, you just don't go off and start tar and feathering the guy they made the charge with. You look at the guy that made the statement and say, let me check this out first, and then we'll go about our business. Yeah. They didn't do that. Yeah. They just automatically sat there at the edge of the table, lapped up what was being dished out, and said it was gospel. And I think that that's a disservice to the world of journalism and to the world of getting both sides out there and let the people decide.
It's a disservice to all of humanity. Thank you, Jim. The voice of Michigan football and former player under Bo Schembechler, Jim Brandstetter. I'm Lucy Ann Lance. This is Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.